This is Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy. The Chemist Warehouse half price sale. On now. Get big brand vitamins and cosmetics for half price. T's and C's apply. Chemist Warehouse. Great savings every day. It's grand final week.
The best city in the world, up and about.
And just like the old times, Billy Brownless has disappeared.
I'm waiting for and love for us.
So we're giving you the best of Triple M's Rush Hour.
Gold, my friend. Liquid gold.
It's the Rush Hour's grand final eve.
I feel good.
On Triple M.
We are less than 24 hours away from the grand final, Fat, and I can feel the tension radiating off your big head.
No, Jimmy, I am buzzing with excitement. Oh, actually, it's my phone.
Oh.
Hello? Yes, someone wants me for a last-minute cashie. That's what we want, Jimmy boy. Anyway, we have put together a little best of today.
Well, just don't go with the rubber band story that you stole. This hour, Topics Brayshaw wants to know how your dog's a genius. Mm. We chat to Luke Darcy. We know his son Sam, of course, is a magnificent young player, but his daughter Sienna is also a sporting superstar. We hear all about that next.
This is the Rush Hour's Grand Final Eve, the best of JB and Billy. And catch the boys anywhere, anytime by downloading the Listener app. LASTNR.
I feel good!
In his 13 seasons, our next guest was one of the best ruckmen in the AFL.
Darcy wants that fifth goal. He wants the three Brownlow votes, and I think he's just about got the lot. Five goals to Luke Darcy.
Now, you can hear him rocking footy with Triple M's Friday Huddle.
Does it still batter you, Damo? Because it is a fairly common occurrence that people want to kill you.
Please welcome the Duke, Luke Darcy.
Oh, and hit this audio, please, Bartholomew.
The lead is with St. Cats of Australia, undefeated domestically in Australia this season. They've come out to prove that they are the best schoolgirl junior women's eight in the world. They're coming down to the line. St. Cats leading Winter Park Crew, United States of America.
Utterly dominant. A length to St. Catherine's, score from Australia.
And Sienna Darcy, a part of that crew, is a world champion.
G'day, JB. G'day, Bill. And Duke, thanks for having me this afternoon. I'm very proud dad moment, Bill,
great.
Today, coming back from the UK. It was a really special event, I have to say, and quite remarkable. A little school that Sienna attends called St. Catherine's College in Toorak. They're small school by number, but they punch above their weight on the rowing stage. And so to see them take on the might of the big UK schools and
the Yanks.
The Yanks, who were pretty confident, Bill, going to the final, the team from Winter Park, and they're big rowing clubs that have had, you know, a number of years preparation. Yep. And the girls, and you know, I am a bit proud of you, Bill, but they obviously went through the lockdown in Melbourne, so they're only able to really do ergos on Zoom. So if you actually put together and said you'll win the head of the school, you win the national, then you'll go and take on the best in the world and be good enough to do that. It was just a stunning thing to be on the banks of the River Thames, JB. Henley, it was a beautiful moment.
I did talk to you about that because I have been in London a couple of times when Henley's on and never had anyone obviously competing in it, but I was there with the best gear I could put together only because as a younger man, Bill, some of the best viewing you will ever see anywhere in the world.
Not on the water.
Not on the water.
Mm. Spring Carnival on steroids, Bill, is how I would describe
it. Fair dinkum, that good.
And it, with all, you know, 60 or 70,000 there a day attending and then the final day on the Sunday and it's got all of the English. I had my top button not done up and I got told off at one stage.
The jumper over your shoulders.
The Pimm's and Lemonade did the old polo raffle around, tied around the knot, and it was sensation. I do want to mention St. Catherine's is the school. Michelle Carroll, the principal's, done a great job. And they've got two coaches, Bridget Carlisle, John Saunders, who have done a remarkable job. Nine in the crew, eight girls, and the cox, Summer, who is a legend.
Who's the cox? Yeah, I want to know who the cox
is. She is a legend.
She's steering it.
I know very little about the sport, Bill, but she, you know, she'd be 54 kilos ringing wet, Summer, and she gives it to them.
Good.
Do you want to get taken on by these English girls? And she's calling out the cadence, and so she was a massive part of their success. It was awesome.
Hey, so they're world champions, Jim, Australian champions, and back-to-back head of schoolgirls champions. So this is a big, big deal, racing against America's best, the UK best, and this little school from Melbourne downtown as one.
If you frame to market, Bill, and I know you like to have a little occasionally, they would have to have been 1,000-1, I reckon, 18 months ago to have been able to do what they did. It may not happen again. It hasn't happened before. And so it was funny sitting in the stands and, you know, the English parents are there. Yeah. And a nice little crew you've got down there in Australia. We appreciate you coming, but you're not in our class. No.
And the Yanks, what would they be
they
like?
They were fairly confident, the American girls. And so to see this this group come together, a little bit of magic of sport in it, JB, to see it happen.
I love it.
You're our expert, Jim. You're our rowing regatta
of course. Ethan Dorney. But all I know is that the American and English schools spend millions on their rowing programs. Like, it sets the agenda for the whole place. Hmm. So to take them on and win is quite extraordinary. I know a fair bit about the Darcy family.
You do.
Now, the boys are a long way back from Beck and now Siena.
Yes, right.
And
so
that is
there.
Just a fact. So when the celebrations were there, I hope the girls stepped forward.
100%. And she has got plenty of strut in our house at the moment. Is there any other world champions? I think she might have said when she got back.
What do they win when they go across? What do they actually get presented with?
This was another interesting moment because that race started, I think, in 1830. So it's been a couple of hundred years in the making. And the head of the famous Leander Rowing Club, which they tell me is the oldest rowing club in the world, the most celebrated, the chairman of the Leander Club picked out their crew as his favourite crew of the whole meet. And the only way you can get into the Leander Club, I understand, is if you win at Henley or you're an Olympic gold medal winner. And they've produced more Olympic gold medal winners. So Lord Swiggy, I think his name was, invited the girls into the chairman's lounge. And they were sort of going, yeah, when does this finish? Looking at their watch, but they have honorary life membership now into
free
that
froffies
club.
And that. Or?
Well, I think there's reciprocal rights. Athenaeum Club, they're not allowed in there, of course.
Of course, they're not
in Melbourne. But they had a life changing event. Some of those girls, I think, one's already, I think, on her way to Stanford, and US scholarships are available for a lot of them, which would be great.
Duke, what I did learn from the Olympics is it is close to the most brutal sport to prepare for. That they're almost. I know boxing and marathon running, so there's other ones.
Yeah.
But the training program that elite rowers have to put together to then be at that level is as brutal as anything you'll ever hear about.
What's the distance?
And it's just over 2Ks. The Henley's a bit different. It's 2,150. It's match racing over there. But you're right, Joe, watching the commitment of the girls, how often you drop them early morning at the river and the extra training that they do. And then as someone who doesn't understand the sport, it's the ultimate team sport. You know, you put one oar in the wrong spot once, that's probably a chance to be the end of your campaign. And so with eight plus the Cox all needing to be in sync. Oof. And if you miss training, a lot of those other schools had several backups that were there. Their school, you know, wasn't able to do that. So, yeah, it was an amazing thing.
It's a great sport not to have your kids involved in. Because you get up and all out. None of my kids rode, and it's the best thing ever.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
You never apologise.
You actually have never been wrong.
We're joined by one of Triple M footy's favourites, Luke Darcy.
Spoke about Siena having some very, very, very well-earned swagger around the Darcy house. My mail is she's only just going to be marginally ahead of Sammy. He's got a nice head of steam up. Is this true or not?
Well, if that's what it's hearing around the traps, then he'll get a clip, Bill.
Yes.
The
only problem is, great thing with footy clubs.
The only problem is that he looks down at me and how do you want to play this young fella?
No, you'd still have him, wouldn't you?
You know what? Mid-lockdown, Bill, he sold it up alongside me. This is out of action. This flattened me for a good couple of days. And he said, you up for an arm wrestle? And I thought, no problem.
Of course I am.
And then he won so convincingly, he said, did you actually try?
Oh,
and
no.
I was trying with every inch I've got. So that ship sailed, Bill. Yeah. So I think I'm going to have to just hope that he pulls his own head in.
No, I've got Dave Oscar still at them. Except I wouldn't want an arm wrestle. I'm no good. I'm not strong there, but I'm stronger in other areas.
Well, you've got to pick your – it's about 15. That's where you finish arm wrestling.
Yeah, you don't do that. That's silly. No one does.
Any later than that, Duke, is a rookie error.
Misread the play there on you that did. One, JB.
Hey, Leon Cameron was on the front bar and he spoke about the big brawl between Richmond and the Western Bulldogs. You were playing in this game. And then it was awkward either the next day or a week later because it was his engagement party.
The very next day it was, Bill.
It was the very next day.
I'll never forget. So Libba belts Matty Knights before the first bounce.
Yeah, I remember that.
It's all in.
Yeah.
And Leon had just moved from the Bulldogs to Richmond and it was his engagement the next day. And I remember getting a call from his beautiful wife, Kaz, and just said, I'm holding you personally responsible if there is. I've never been to a more awkward function.
How did
in my
it all start? Yeah.
Well, you're thinking surely Libber won't front after he's belted Knights, but Libber was first one there, and then Matty Knights, will he turn up with his face all over the shop? And it was literally one side, and it was at Wayne Campbell's pub at that stage, the Swan Hotel in Bridge Road. So literally one side of the bar was the Richmond players, the other side was and it was like a tinderbox. You just thought, you know, this could easily spill. I remember having a chat to Benny Gale and said, we better make sure that this event isn't ruined. We got through, but that started a 4 or 5 year sort of war between the two clubs, and those rivalries take a while to get over.
And Leon was the lightning rod for it, who wouldn't fight his way. I reckon I could, well, not me, but Bill. Could even stand toe-to-toe with Leon.
You've never met a more passive, agreeable person in your life, and he was caught right in the middle.
Well, having said that, you and Benny Gale wouldn't be much going on there.
I tell you what I love, Duke, and that was on Triple M Footy on Friday night a few weeks back when you had Danny Laidley as part of the analysis crew. I was working at the game on TV, so I didn't hear, but my understanding is she was brilliant.
It was one of the great experiences of the year, JB, to be perfectly honest with you. I haven't caught up with Danny in recent times. And you know what? We had about an hour beforehand. We didn't want to start the show because the education that we were getting from her and
you could ask her any question?
Absolutely anything on the table.
That
is
great.
And then to understand more of the story, she's got a documentary coming out, which will be unbelievable, and her book, which I can't wait to read. And it was just fantastic to have her back. I love the footy community is brilliant, isn't it? And everyone is welcome in the footy community. And for her to look happy and content. And I know your brother Mark's had a huge amount of influence in making sure that that recovery's on track. So it was a great day. Really enjoyed it.
And how's everything else going? You're still podcasting?
I am, Bill. I'm enjoying that space a lot. Caught up with Ange Postecoglou a couple of weeks ago.
Great episode.
He was holidaying in Greece. What a legend he is. What he's done on the international stage. Eddie Jones from English Rugby was fascinating. Enjoying the chance to catch up with people like that one-on-one. So download that one.
You can catch Darce on the Friday Huddle and Empowering Leaders on the Listener app.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
Married for better, for worse. He couldn't have done any better and she couldn't have done any worse.
A fat.
Yes.
Phillip Island, where you've been to watch the big race, the MotoGP. Look at the face on him.
I forgot. I went there. Went down with our mate.
Ronnie Lerner.
Ronnie.
The Bogan.
We're sitting there having lunch and he said, these are the worst sandwiches I ever had. And it was the head of Roland Catering. Peter Roland.
Come on, Ronnie.
But a nice
as if he'd know what a good sandwich looked like anyway, old Bogan.
Jim, yes.
So we're talking Phillip Island because there's an English Springer Spaniel. Photo of it there.
What is a English
Not
Springer?
A big dog.
No.
Like that's not a bloody hunting dog or anything. It's a small to medium sized pooch.
Not a cocker.
No. Springer Spaniel.
Or a coat.
I'm reading in the paper, it has hunted and located a rogue fox on the island.
Yes. Good.
And the rogue fox was then dealt with by the park ranger. I got no time for foxes.
Why?
They're bad bastards. They just eat everything, kill, slaughter everything. They're brought into the bloody country. They're not native to Australia. They're no bloody good.
I like this.
Anyway, there are no foxes traditionally on Phillip Island.
Right.
So they reckon this one must have swum across. From the next to your mate's pub.
Or what? Got on
San
at
Remo.
Sam Remo there
swam
with Pete,
over,
Pete
they
Williams.
Bill.
Oh, he would have walked across the bridge.
No, they reckon it must have swum over.
Bill, got a surfboard.
Anyway, don't ask me how the bloody thing got over. That's just they're saying in the article.
What were they doing?
Must have swum over. Anyway, killing chickens.
And?
It had a eastern barred bandicoot in its mush.
Oh, no.
Tiny little furry marsupials. Yes. And why they're so interested in getting rid of it is because if it gets bloody entrenched in the joint, kills all the penguins.
Oh, no. Not these penguins.
You've gone to Batman.
No, penguin. But you cannot touch the penguins, Jim.
No.
That's what the whole bloody thing's about.
Famous for.
Oh, huge. Have you ever been, by the way?
I haven't.
Neither have I. Should we do a show from it?
Bill, you just have.
You
we
have.
Told you went to
you
the
went
MotoGP.
I haven't been to the penguins.
Oh, the penguins. Yeah, right, yeah. I see. Okay. But how good the dog? by the way.
Yeah, what's his name?
Single-handedly, I think it's called Jess or something.
Jazz.
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 Single-handedly hunted a killer fox down.
Jazz.
A killer.
Not Jazz. So, Bill.
Yes, Jim.
I put this dog.
He kills chickens.
Into the genius category.
Because of that.
Well, Bill.
He saved all the penguins.
It's a big island, Phillip Island. Best as I can work out.
You don't know.
But I can see it on the map. It's got some bloody size about it. And there's a rogue fox running around killing everything.
And
this little Springer Spaniel's hunted it down.
Jazzy.
And taken the park ranger there to bloody deal with it.
So this is interesting because I'd like to know, hence, what you're doing.
Hence! How is your dog a genius?
Oh, no.
Oh, because, Bill, this is a genius dog.
It's not going to work.
So I'm not talking about, you know, just rubbish.
Getting a ball and bringing it back.
Like any bloody dog can do that.
Right.
133353, exactly. And roll over and all of that.
We don't want that.
None of that bloody
crap. We want good stuff.
We want how is your dog a genius? Yes. We'll take your calls next.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
That's why we're number one. We can tease a story. Neither of us know.
Yeah. Everyone knows that story in the lift.
You know it.
I've been hit in the head too many times. I forget.
English Springer Spaniel Jazz single-handedly saved a whole island.
Jim, it caught a fox.
A Bill.
It found a fox and got a fox.
The joint was cooked until it found the rogue fox.
Yeah, that's all it did.
Bill.
I like Jazz, but...
Genius dog.
No.
Is what it is. So we're asking you if you own a genius dog. Mm. Paul in Montrose. Paulie.
How you going, boys? Just the boys footy training, mate.
Oh, good. It's not
Paul
the Saturday.
Paul thinks he's on the Saturday quiz, but anyway.
Yeah, wrong show.
Anyway. What kind of dog you got?
I had an English Staffy American Bulldog, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And he's shocking on the lead, so I walk him off the lead, right? And when he needs to go, he'll find some overgrown garden, throw it into reverse, and back into someone's bush to drop it.
That is genius,
mate. No bags for me, mate.
Bill, that's genius.
That is very good.
Well, did you teach him that, Paulie?
Or he watched you?
Started doing it, man, and I'm like, you beauty, mate. I don't have to drop me can. I can keep sticking me can. And no bags for me.
Have a listen to Paulie. Stay on the line. Well. I like that. Clarkie in Hillsville.
Oh, Clarkie.
Hey, how you going?
How's your dog a genius, Clarkie?
About 20 years ago when I used to do a bit of surfing, went surfing on an incoming tide, and she's grabbed all my gear as the tide's coming up and taken up to the high tide line, so I didn't get wet.
That is good. I'm wondering what it was.
Mm.
That is good. So the dog could read the tide coming in, Jim.
And saved his gear from getting wet.
Spot on.
I love that, Clarkie. Stay there. That's quality. Chelsea.
Chelsea.
Hi, JB and Billy.
How are you, Chelsea?
Good.
What have you got, a genius dog?
Yeah, I've got a golden lab called Barry.
Barry.
And he knows the names of all his toys.
What do you mean, toys?
So he's got a toy box that my brother made for him, and he's got about 50 toys in there, and they all have a different name, and you tell him, for example, he just got a toy manta ray. We called it Murray the Manta Ray. You say, go and get Murray, and he'll dig through the box and find Murray.
No.
That's good.
Yep.
That's
and there's
good.
50 different toys.
Oh, 50 might be an exaggeration, maybe
30.
So there's 10. There's 10.
Yeah, that's good, though. Paul and Lara.
Hello, Polly.
Hey, lads.
Got a genius dog?
I do. I've got a couple of Jack Russells. My oldest one, he suffers from seizures from time to time.
Yeah.
And the other dog will actually let out a different sort of bark than she normally would to alert us that he's actually having a seizure. And then we've got to go out and give him a hand for a while until he gets pulled through it.
That's good.
That's good, isn't it? Looking after his mate.
Yes.
What do you do if your dog has a seizure?
Look, we've just got to try to protect it and make sure it really thrashes around and make sure he doesn't whack his head on certain things and that. Oh. So usually grab him and quickly put him on the grass and give him an area where he can sort of just do it and get it over and done with, hopefully. Yeah.
That's good, isn't it?
That's a bloody smart dog.
I like that.
Stay there, Paul. Mm. Brad in Werribee. Bradford?
Hey, how are you, boys?
Good. All right, you got a genius dog?
Yeah, got a Springer Spaniel named Bella. And she, on cold nights, she's getting a bit old, so she's worked out how to open the back roller door with her snout in the pool. She goes in there on a cold night, gets in a blanket we got in there, and when it's a bit dark, she turns the light on as well. I've got it all on camera. So she figured out to turn the light on as well.
Oh. Open must the be roller clever. Door and turn the light on.
She's another Springer Spaniel. They must be clever, the Springer Spaniels.
She's only little. She's only about 18 kilo, but yeah, she goes all right.
Well, good that's why I say this one saved a whole island.
Jazzy. No, just
I did.
Found a fox.
Cool. The fox was threatening to ruin the whole
joint. I could have found the bloody fox.
No, you couldn't have.
Give me a spotlight.
Packing them. Phil?
Filthy.
Hey, Bullet. Hey, lads. How you going?
Good, Filthy. What do you got for us, Filthy?
We have a sausage dog. His name's Chili. He got out the gate one day and he took himself for his walk around the block. He came back a bit later on. It got dark. But he used to sit at the front door and bark at the people that walked past.
Yeah.
But he's figured out that he can stay in the warmer part of the house and sit on the back of the couch and watch the security monitor on the fridge and bark at it as people are walking past.
Chilly.
He does all the usual stuff like shake hands and that, but he also backs one in when like the first call as well.
That is genius.
They're pretty smart little dogs. Bloody annoying, but they're smart.
Oh, annoying.
I like that. The monitor it's barking at. So who do you
Well, like I like and Mick there from Gunbower. That's it up in the country, Jim.
Well, we didn't talk to Mick.
Well, I'm going to tell you what his dog does. Right. It can sniff out a fly-blowing sheep from 50 yards away.
I think that's all dogs, isn't it?
No, it's a clever Kelpie. Jim.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So
well done, Mick.
Where Rover, are we sending?
Rover have any?
Oh, Rover. No, you haven't, Rover.
No.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
Greedy, greedy. Japanesey.
So, you know, I was talking the other day about breaking my thumb and very courageously at the junction continuing to bat for about an hour.
Well, we don't know that if you did.
No, we get
so you got a broken thumb. Who was the bowler?
A bloke called Smith. I reckon he came from...
Oh, Geelong.
Yeah, Geelong.
He was quick. He was. All shoulder. He
broke my bloody thumb. Anyway.
He bounced me in the indoor cricket and hit me in the head. Remember that? I told you that one. This bloke came off three paces. I'm in the old cricket. Yeah. I was playing a bit, so I was hitting them beautifully. Mm-hmm. Got three and bounced me, hit me in the head. He was quick.
He was quick. Yeah. I don't know what his first name was, but he broke my bloody thumb. Anyway.
Someone will text me.
Talking about that. I don't know what I was doing the other day, and someone said, what happened to your finger? Because you can see how it's all buggered, my little finger on my left hand. And Bill, I'll tell you what happened.
What happened?
I'm down in Tassie.
Did you just look at your own fingers to look at his finger?
To look at my finger.
Yeah,
he looked at his own fingers.
My fingers are all right.
I'm down in Tassie. It's the third Shield game of the year, and I dropped a couple.
Yes.
And we had a captain called Jamie Siddons, the single best fieldsman I've ever seen.
A great slipper.
I only ever saw him drop one catch the whole time I played with him, like 7-8 years.
In slips, mainly.
Oh, yeah. He's a genius fielder. But the captain of the team, and could be grumpy like most captains, especially if people drop catches.
Oh, yeah.
So I've turfed a couple.
Where were you fielding?
I was fielding in the slips. And the first couple of the season that I turfed were pretty gettable.
Come on.
So not happy with me. No. So I got banished to third man.
You can't
down to
throw.
Third man. So we're in Tassie, freezing cold, sideways rain, Bell Reeve, Danny Buckingham, little burger.
Little chubby.
Yep. He's en route to make an 160.
No.
So I'm at third man. Dennis Hickey's running in, old white lightning.
Oh, yeah.
And Bill, he's fast but all over the place.
Exactly.
So this one's short and wide. A little burger gives it the full swing, trying to hit a cut shot over sort of Gully's head for six.
Top edge,
straight down to me. Well, I say straight down to me. It was going about 10 metres to my right.
Jim, it was straight to you.
On and off with rain.
Oh. Don't make up excuses.
So anyway, I move to my right to take this catch, and it was one of those ones, when you've done a lot of outfield catching, you can see as the ball's in the air that there's no way you're dropping it. It's just coming in at a perfect height. And I'm plucking it, and it's all good. And, Bill, I planted to catch it, and my feet didn't stick because it had been raining.
There we go. So that'd be an excuse.
Yeah. My feet go out that way, so I've got to the right. So I've gone from catching it normally to feet gone. Oh. So then I had to try and catch it over my head as I'm
sliding.
And, Bill, broke my little finger. So catch down.
So you dropped the catch.
Dropped it.
And broke your finger.
So I broke my little finger. And the end of my little finger's heading off to the left, which you often see.
Yeah, it's just dislocated.
But, Bill, freezing cold.
Oh, Jim.
I pick the ball up and throw it back. Violent. I don't want to look at the boss.
No, you're not looking.
I'm not looking anywhere near the boss. I'd just throw it back. And then I'd sort of kick the can, and I'm standing down there at third man. Don't want to look at anything.
Trying to look.
The five people at Bell Reeve are giving it to me.
Good.
Anyway, so then I'm thinking that's hurting more than it should.
Mm.
You know, because you get hit in the end of the finger of the cricket ball, it hurts. But that one's hurting more than it should. I look down, and it's boarding off in the other direction.
Yes.
Also look up at the clock, and it's about 12 minutes till drinks. So I can't, I'm not saying anything.
Not going to put your hand up and go off?
Nothing.
Mm.
So we get to drinks, and I walk up to Jamie Siddons, and I said to him, boss, showed him, I said, I think my finger's broken. I am not making this up. I said, I think my finger's broken. He looked at me and he said, I know it's broken.
I know it's broken.
So I'm like, where am I going now? Because that's all I got from him. And so he looked at me, and then he looked across at our 12th man, Peter McIntyre.
Oh, no.
Leg spinner, fat, tubby guts. Yes. He looked across at him and he goes, and don't think you're going off.
Oh.
Because he said, if you go off, he comes on, and he's the only third letter of the alphabet who feels worse than you in Australia.
Peter McIntyre.
So, Bill, back down to third man I went.
With a broken finger.
For an hour.
Oh, no.
Until lunch. Oh. And it was when lunch came about that I was then able to go and get hold of the doctor. And he says to me, your finger's broken.
Mm.
I said, I know that, and so does the captain. He said, well, why didn't you bloody come off and let me have a look at it earlier? I said, scared.
Yeah, scared. So did you bat? No.
No, because with a little finger, you can just straighten that up. It was fine. Yeah. And you can bat with a little finger.
You're gutsy.
But Bill, no, I wasn't gutsy. No. I couldn't look him in the eye. I didn't want to speak to him.
You are soft.
Bill. Oh, I know it's broken, he reckons.
Yeah, I love that, because he was hard.
Tough.
Yeah, he was tough.
Mildura boy.
Mildura, Merbein or somewhere.
Yeah, anyway, so someone was asking me why it looks stupid. That's why.
Right. What? No, I think someone said, why do you look stupid?
Not my fault.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
Went on sale today at noon o'clock. At noon o'clock. at noon. At midday. Oh, Jimmy boy, this came across my desk, and I love this. I can't believe it. And I love a good scam, all right? Yes. Have a listen to this, Jim. Yes. Police in India have had to shut down a cricket league in India that saw 21 farm labourers and kids, farmers, Jim, masquerading as a professional cricket players.
Why could they have been?
Well, they had Indian Premier League shirts on, so they had the Chennai Super Kings shirts,
tops, yep.
The Mumbai Indians, the Titans.
Yes,
they were paid $5 a game. They went out to a little farmland,
it's like a strip of carpet they're playing on.
They hired a field, they mowed the pitch, which is carpet. They set up five HD cameras, designed graphics, and downloaded crowd noise from the internet.
They even found a commentator who sounded like Harsha Bogle,
exactly,
who's the voice of cricket in India.
And he actually got onto it and he said, I can't stop laughing. You must hear this commentator. Umpires were telling the players whether to score runs or get out depending on instructions they were given on walkie-talkies. So they've got walkie-talkies on the umpires.
Why were they doing all this?
Hey, it went on for 2 weeks, Jim. Mm-hmm. They actually got to the knockout quarter final. It went on for 2 weeks. They were Indian farmers out the middle of this farm. They were trying to get the Russian gamblers. They hooked them in. They fooled the Russian gamblers. So they were betting on this Indian Premier League. They thought it was the IPL. Because these farmers were playing a game of cricket.
Stupid, surely.
It went for 2 weeks.
No.
So they've been all arrested and things like that. It went on for 2 weeks, but they hired cameras. What about that? They've got design, graphics, downloaded crowd noise, and had a commentator.
No way.
Oh, that is fantastic. So I'll put my head together.
You put your head together.
Not properly.
With what?
A screwdriver. And I've come up with a magnificent topic, Jim. You ready for it? Mm-hmm. Hence. What ridiculous scam have you fallen for?
Oh,
it's got to be ridiculous.
Yes.
Like Indian farmers playing cricket and
that
the Russian,
is ridiculous.
And the Russian punters.
You'd think even Russians would realise that's not
proper
cricket.
Well, they don't know cricket, do they? They'd have no idea. They just want to have a bet.
You'd expect you'd look at that and realise that wasn't real.
But they have no idea about cricket and how good cricket is.
All right.
And the IPL.
What ridiculous scam have you been what?
Sucked into.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
What else is on TikTok? Good scam, this one, Jim, over in India. 21 former farm labourers and farmers and kids, and they had their own IPL. So they hired a ground, they set up five HD cameras, designed graphics and downloaded crowd noise, and it was on the internet, and the Russians fell for it and started betting on it. And it went for 2 weeks, Jim. That's a good scam.
So they had people masquerading as cricketers.
Well, they did, and then the umpires had walkie-talkies, and they said, you've got to go out this ball. And they did.
The Aussies masquerade as a decent cricket side.
Oh, I was wondering where you were going with it.
Yes, now, 133353, yes. What's the question you're asking?
So the question is, what ridiculous, has to be ridiculous, scam have you fallen for?
All right, Andrew's out there. Doreen, Andy.
Andy's in Doreen.
G'day, how are you?
Hey, what happened, Andy?
I actually didn't fall for this one. This is one I created in, I think it was grade 3 or 4.
Yeah.
The local sausage sizzle was put on by the Mother's Club at school, and Dad used to be in the Lions Club, so I noticed he had some Admit One tickets in the garage, and they're exactly the same as the sausage sizzle tickets. So I took a few reels to school and see what colour they were using that week, and had 3 sausages the first week, and the second week I thought, oh, I'll probably make a bit of money out of this. So I started taking a couple of tickets back and said, oh, I want a refund, I don't want the sausages anymore, and did that for a while. Well, I took it one step further and I thought, maybe I could start selling them. The Mother's Club sold them for 30 cents, I was popping them off for 20 cents.
Undercutting them.
That's good.
I started making a bit of a killing, and the Mother's Club were wondering why they were starting to roll to the loft. So assistant principal was sort of watching me and watching what was going on, and I got busted, and Dad was called into the office of the principal, and they said what they had to say, and Dad's come out in the car and he goes, look, I should be mad of you, but he goes, I'm bloody proud of you.
Oh, no.
Good on you, Dad.
Stay there, Andy. Lyndon, Hoppers Crossing, Lyndon.
Hey, Lyndon.
Skinny, fat, Ravsy, how you going, boys?
Good. What are you up to, Lyndon?
Now, I'm on my way home from work, Bill. What about you, buddy? What are you up to right now?
Well, just
working on the joke?
No, I am. Thank you, Lyndon. Yes. What scam have you got for us?
Right, I got a good one for you, boys. I was in Hong Kong a little while back there. Old mate selling CDs off the side of the road on a blanket there. Mm-hmm. I rocked up there with me Discman. Made him play the CD, so I didn't think he was selling me blanks, as you do, you know what I mean? Played the song, yeah, next one. Played the song, yeah, next one. Got back to me apartment. Old mate had only put one song in each CD, didn't he?
Yeah. I like it.
Hey, Lyndon.
Yeah, what do you got, Bill?
Sucked in.
Paul is in Bendigo. Hello, Paul.
Oh, Bendigo.
G'day, boys. How are you?
Good. Have someone up there on Friday.
Mate. Wander up to Bendigo. I am Paul. I'll catch up with you.
All right, Bill. Any pub, mate, I'll be there.
Any pub.
Mate, 20-odd years ago as uni students, mate, we're on the Terps. We're looking for get-rich-quick schemes, so we start ringing the restaurants up, telling them we can supply them with yabbies. Ooh. Right? Gave a ridiculous price on them. We were flat out, mate. It took off like it was unbelievable. And we about 6 months we did it, and we had to wrap it up because we didn't have any dams in Bendigo left that we could raid.
So you're just roading with the net, the dams, and selling the yabbies. How good. Well done.
Yeah, mate, you get out there, you take the star, pick it out, and you run through with the net.
That's it, Jim. I used to do
I've heard about it, yeah. Bill.
Me
and
Palmer,
the farmers aren't happy.
Me and Palmer Bryce used to do suddenly that in Drury.
Suddenly their dam's been raided. Trav Beveridge. Hello, Trav.
Trav.
Hey, so years ago, boys, I was lead singer of the Matchbox 20 tribute show. And
Rob Thomas.
So, yeah, a bit of Rob. And anyway, we had a Bucks night across the road from Maxine's in Sydney Road. I'm sure Bill knows that one.
The Maxine's.
And by the end of the night, we finished at our venue. We're going across, and one of my Samoan mates goes, oh, why don't we try and get you in as Rob Thomas? I'm like, oh, see how we go. We got the entourage anyway. You had the sunnies on. He goes ahead, goes up to the booth. Oh, I've got Rob Thomas here, and he wants to keep it quiet. Do you mind if we come in? They're like, yeah, no worries. Come in. We're getting free drinks, shots, lap dances, everything for free. Anyway, a bloke come over about 2 hours later, and he's like, oh, yeah, great to have you. I'm like, yeah, thank you. Look, I appreciate the fact you guys are keeping it quiet, you know. So I put down the whole accent. He goes, well, just wondering if you could get up and do a song. I was munted by this stage. I couldn't even remember the words to bloody the song Push that everyone knows. And we got bloody found out and kicked out.
But you've had a good night.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, we bloody oath we did.
Well done, Trev.
All right.
Good.
And Paul Yarra Junction, Bill.
Paulie.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are we?
Hello, Paul. How are you?
Oh, great. I've riveting radio, by the way, Billy. This has gone really successful.
Shut up. We've had about 8 calls and it's actually good.
Just a quick one. I've been getting ripped off the last 7 years. I've been getting promised a joke at the end of every show.
There we are.
Oh,
there
hasn't even got a sponsorship anymore. What's going on there, Bill? In the world of Google and the websites and all that sort of stuff, you could find something humorous, but no, you still cannot do it.
Well, you wait for today.
We got Todd from Bowen.
Paul, you wait for the end of this show.
Yeah, actually, don't listen today.
Do you want to watch Billy's joke?
Look at him. He's now in the fetal position because he knows how appalling that is.
Just follow Triple M Rush Hour on Instagram and you can see Billy's joke every day. This has the potential to be as funny or sad as Billy's performances in four grand finals.
One tackle for all four games?
No.
On the Rush Hour's grand final eve, this is Billy's joke.
And this is a bit naughty.
It is. Well, it's not naughty, but it's Friday, Jim.
Right, so, we loosen it up a touch.
And do you know what a focker friendship is, Jim?
Yes.
Be careful.
An old aeroplane.
That's right. Dutch-made aeroplane. A small one. Right. Okay. Just a precursor.
Oh, if you're going with the joke, I think you're going with
not
it's
that
as old as the plane.
But it's Tony who goes out for a fish in Port de Phillip Bay, Jim. And his boat starts taking on water. So he jumps on the radio. Hey, Coaster Guard, this is the Tony. My boat, she is a sinking. A may a day, a may a day. No response, Jim. The water reaches up to his hips. Hey, Coaster Guard, this is the Tony. I'm a gonna drown. A may a day, a may a day. Still nothing, Jim.
Yes.
One more call from Tone. I'm a sinking. You must help. Then the Coast Guard comes back to him. Hello, Tony. This is the Coast Guard. We hear your distress and we are sending our focker friendship.
Yes.
Tony, hey, sorry. Hiya, Coast Guard. I know one of your fucker friendship. I want your fucker help.
No way. Oh, that is appalling.
I couldn't wait to say fucker.
I know, we gathered that.
Jumped in.
Oh, no.
Hey, Coaster Guard, I know one of your fucker friendship. I want your fucker help.
No, we heard it the first time. And that's how it's going to be played. All right?
Yes.
Yes.
Not bad, Bill. Well done. Thank you, Cookies. Cookies. Hey! What do you think you do? Sinking. Why you look
so sad? Hey, I need your fucker friendship. I want some fucker help. Shut up your face.
This has been the Rush Hour's grand final eve. The best of JB and Billy. We'll be back live in studio Monday from 4 p.m. to wrap up the big game. In the meantime, download the Listener app to take JB and Billy with you wherever you go. LISTNR.
I feel good.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy. The Chemist Warehouse half price sale. On now. Get big brand vitamins and cosmetics for half price. T's and C's apply. Chemist Warehouse. Great savings every day. Triple